World Football at AFCON with John Bennett.
Hello and welcome to the show. One of the most dramatic and exciting group stages in recent memory at an Africa Cup of Nations is over. What a ride it's been. 89 goals. That's compared to 68 at the last tournament in Cameroon 2 years ago at this stage. But bizarrely, after a constant goal fest for a week and a half, we had just one goal in four games on Wednesday. And now the last 16 is complete, with hosts Ivory Coast given a reprieve. Despite two successive defeats, including a 4-0 thrashing by Equatorial Guinea, they squeeze into the last 16 as one of the four best third-placed teams. Remarkable. That's because Morocco did them a favour, beating Zambia 1-0 to knock them out in Group F. So Morocco win the group. DR Congo are second. Tanzania eliminated. Reaction to come. Meanwhile, in Group E, Mali, South Africa, and for the first time, Namibia go through, but Tunisia are out. We'll tell you the story of those final games in that group with a former South Africa captain. And with me, as always, my AFCON strike partner, going for the shot instead of squaring the ball to me in a good position in the box, former DR Congo captain Gabriel Zakuani. Gabby, are Ivory Coast the luckiest team on the planet? How on earth are they through to the last 16?
Tell me about it. I genuinely thought they were heading home, but yeah, they supported us. I even see some of their fans in the Moroccan crowd, you know, just getting involved in the celebrations. But yeah, they were lucky. They were really lucky.
Yeah, they're into the knockout stages hours after sacking their manager. That must be a first for any major tournament. They'll have an interim manager going into their last 16 game against Senegal. We'll go through the full lineup later on. Jean-Louis Gasset and his assistant let go during the tournament. So MS Faye is now in charge, former Ivory Coast player, also played for Nice, played for Reading, only 40 years old. Yeah, has a team ever sacked a manager before on the same day that they've qualified for the knockouts of a major tournament? Surely not. That's a first for Ivory Coast. So let's go through the final group games. Starting in Group F, the World Cup heroes, Morocco, one of the favourites. They booked a spot with a 1-0 win over Zambia, finishing top of their group. In the other game, Gabby's DR Congo drew 0-0 with Tanzania to book their place too. And yes, you heard it correctly, 0-0. We waited 32 matches at this AFCON for a 0-0, and three came along at once on Wednesday. Gabby, you were commentating on the Morocco game for BBC TV. Were Morocco tested by Zambia at all?
They were in the second half. Zambia came into it where they had no choice. They had to start throwing the kitchen sink at it. They started going a little bit more direct, missing out the midfield and trying to force things. But Morocco, all in all, looked comfortable. Could have had a few more in the first half. Some good saves by Malenga, who was forced into action a few times. But all in all, it was a comfortable win. But they huffed and puffed Zambia without really doing enough to get the draw.
Huge expectations on Morocco after what they did at the World Cup. Are you convinced by them, though, this version of Morocco? Not the World Cup Morocco, but this AFCON Morocco, from what you've seen so far at the tournament?
I am convinced in terms of they do get the job done and they've got enough going forward, but just about enough. But they're probably not as dominant as I thought they would be. That's before the tournament, they were my favourites and I thought they would be looking too good. But I mean, when I saw the game against DR Congo, it was even. It could have gone either way. Congo probably the stronger towards the end. And today, yes, they've done enough for the win, but against a stronger opposition, they should have been tested a bit more. So they don't look as strong. I think playing on the front foot doesn't really suit the style that they adopted for the World Cup. So it's different for them. So they're still adapting. But the further they go, I think they'll get used to being a team that's supposed to be in possession and dominate games.
Yeah, that's the big difference, isn't it, that we've talked about, the fact that they will have a lot more of the ball at this tournament. By the way, Morocco head coach Walid Regragui served the first match of a two-game touchline suspension in that Zambia game. It's actually a four-game ban, but two are suspended. The sanctions relating to post-match incidents following Morocco's 1-1 draw with DR Congo on Sunday, which the Confederation of African Football said it was investigating. He clashed with Gabby's mate, Chancel Mbemba. Morocco will appeal. How much do you think they will miss him on the touchline in the last 16, Gabby?
I think they will miss him. I think even the latter stages of the game today, you can see that they were missing that leader on the side, that motivator who gets that extra percentage out of the players. You can see it. But I think they've still got enough. They've got enough quality to do the job. And they're experienced players now. You know, they're experienced players. They're used to playing in big games. So that's not new to them. It's just maybe the tactical side of things, because of the new way they have to play, that they need their manager on the side.
Yeah, I am in two minds about this, because I do think they will miss him. But I've said it a few times on this show. I think they are the best prepared of any of the teams at this tournament. They've thought of everything. So I think the backroom staff will be fully prepared. And yeah, he's got a great team behind him. So your DR Congo also through, Gabby. You couldn't watch because you were doing the other game. You didn't miss much. 0-0. They've bored their way to the last 16, haven't they? Draw. Are you going to do a Portugal at this tournament? You're going to win the tournament drawing?
No, in terms of boring their way to this day, I don't think they have. I think Zambia, they battered Zambia. If you look at the stats, we just didn't have our shooting boots on the day. It was wild.
I'll give you that one. Yeah.
So we went for it, you know. And then the Morocco game, I think, came alive in the second half. Looked the more likely in the second half. And missing a penalty, you're forgetting that. So it could have changed today. Yes, I think because the objective was to just get a point, that we knew that a point was enough. So I think that was tactically done today to for a snore fest to get us through to the next round.
Boring your way to the final. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. So let's move on to Group E then. No late drama. It was tense at the end though. Mali 0, Namibia 0, South Africa 0, Tunisia 0. Nil-nils making a comeback in style at AFCON. All that means that Mali were group winners. South Africa went through in second. Namibia into the knockout stages. Congratulations to them for the first time in their history. But 2004 champions Tunisia out after an awful tournament for them. Stunned by Namibia in the first game. Draws against Mali and South Africa. They looked hopeless going forward. But of course, the major news is that my dark horse pick, South Africa, through to the last 16. Let's hear from friend of world football at AFCON, former South Africa captain Dean Furman. What did he make of the 0-0 draw that sent South Africa through and Tunisia out?
A job well done for Bafana Bafana. The first assignment well and truly ticked off. Solid performance from Bafana. It didn't reach the free-flowing football heights of the first half against Mali or the clinical finishing that they showed against Namibia in match day two. They probably didn't have the chances, but defensively they looked solid. Roman Williams in goal was rarely troubled. We didn't see any sort of threat from Tunisia, which was a real surprise. They played the game as if they were the team who was qualifying for the next round, not chasing a win to get them to the next stage. There was a slight scare in the last minute, but thankfully for South Africa, we were spared of the drama that we've seen over the previous few nights. So really pleased for the Bafana boys. Very, very tough round against Morocco coming up, but underdogs, that seems to be the story of this AFCON. So Bafana, can they write their own story? Can't wait.
Thanks, Dean. Yes, South Africa against Morocco next. More on the last 16 lineup in a moment. Gabby, what was your main takeaway from this group? Mine was that Tunisia was so poor. This is a team that qualified for the last World Cup. They were really poor in the final third.
Yeah, I mean, we written Namibia off, and rightly so. On paper, you would expect Tunisia to finish above them at least, you know, and It is quite bewildering how bad they've become. They don't look like scoring. If they were making the chances and just being unlucky, it would have been a different story. But they don't even look like they're going for it. You know, they're playing, the tempo's slow. You're seeing their attacks from a mile off. And it's been a really, really disappointing tournament for them.
And I'm not sure what to make of Mali. They're group winners, but I kind of expected more. They had a really poor first half against South Africa, managed to win. Then a couple of draws. I expected more from them. Do you think they'll come good in the knockout stages?
I think they're not playing to. They're going through the gears. I think they're still going through the gears, because that first win probably settled the nerves a lot. And I think knowing that four places to get through, they sort of just wanted to get through. I think there's so much potential in that team that they've got more. I'm waiting to see what else they've got. And I think now going into the knockout stages where you can't be playing out for draws and things like that, I think we'll see them express themselves a little bit more.
Great to see Yves Bissouma starting for Mali. Speculation that he's been unwell. He was subbed in their first game. He was a sub in their second game. Played the full 90 in this game. With him fit, they will be a tough act in the last 16. So here is the last 16 lineup. Angola against Namibia, Nigeria against Cameroon, Equatorial Guinea against Guinea, the Guinea Derby, Egypt against DR Congo, two teams there who haven't won a game at this AFCON, Cap Verde against Mauritania, Senegal, Ivory Coast, wow, that's a big one as well, Mali, Burkina Faso, South Africa, Morocco. Some interesting matches between neighbours there. Mali, Burkina Faso, Nigeria, Cameroon, Angola, Namibia as well. What stands out for you, Gabby?
Oh, I think Nigeria, Cameroon. I'm really looking forward to that.
That's football
one.
Heritage, isn't it?
Yeah,
that one? Football heritage.
That one is, because they absolutely hate each other. So it'll be great to see some challenges flying in that one, and just to see Osimhen, if he starts producing the goals, what we're expecting from him, he's getting the chances, but not the goals. So I'd like to see him light up that one, because he'll be looking forward to that one.
Yeah, that will be sensational. I'm going to pick that one up. But I think Senegal, Ivory Coast, maybe Ivory Coast will feel they have nothing to lose. They've almost been given a second chance. But several teams in that lineup that we wouldn't have expected to see in the last 16. So why have the less fancied teams done so well at this AFCON? Let's get the perspective from an African football expert, Mahir Mazahi.
Yeah, on one hand, sometimes I think, you know, it's just a standalone tournament. You know, it's just an outlier. But on the other hand, I think there are different factors. You know, I spoke to Didier Drogba actually like 2 months prior to this tournament. And he told me, look, at the African Cup of Nations, you need players that can adapt and that have an ability to overcome. That's the most important quality for a player, because there are equalizing factors, things like the climate and the humidity that, you know, adds a lot of additional cooling breaks and limits, an attacking team's ability to get into a rhythm. There are things like, teams do set up in blocks. There are things like the pitch conditions, which can, you know, also make for a possession-based team. It can be a little more difficult for them as well. So there are a few different equalizing factors, I think, in the African Cup of Nations that we don't necessarily have in other competitions as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think the fear is gone. The less fancied teams are less fearful of the big teams. What's your theory, Gabby, on this?
Yeah, correct. I think they are. I think they're less fearful because a lot of teams seem to not be great at defending when you apply pressure. Because what I've seen in the past is that teams are a little bit cagey, and then the quality of the bigger teams shines through. But this time, because they're putting on so much pressure, it's becoming difficult for the bigger nations to settle. And even today, I mean, when Zambia started doing something about it and not sitting back, yeah, it became a little bit more difficult for Morocco.
You expecting more shocks then in the last 16?
Yeah, I think this AFCON, I can't call it. I'll be honest, I generally can't call it. So there will be a shock along the way. But I think the experienced sides who are used to knockout football and that have dealt with the pressure in recent times should have too much.
On that note, quick prediction check. All of our teams are still in. So, Gabby, you went for Morocco to win it. Guinea is a dark horse. So, yeah, you're okay. I went for Egypt to win it. South Africa to be a dark horse. So both of my teams squeezed through. And your DR Congo can actually knock my prediction team out as well. But I should be allowed to re-pick, I think, after Salah's injury. Plus, more injury news from the Egypt camp. Emam Achour suffered a head injury. He's been really good in this competition. He's got concussion. Another blow for them. They've already lost Salah, lost their first choice keeper. Are you still going Morocco, winners, Guinea to go far, possibly semi-final?
Yeah, I think Morocco winners, but I'm not as sure as I was at the beginning. I think it's going to be a lot tougher than I thought. At the moment, I think in terms of winning it, I think Senegal look like the likeliest because they haven't even started, to be honest. But they just look comfortable with every game that they play. They look too much for their position. And they're used to winning as well. So that adds something to it. Morocco just seem to, they're changing their philosophy. So it may be a little bit harder for them.
What a group stage it has been. Gabby, thank you so much for your company. You will be back with us on World Football at AFCON for the last 16. But before that, look out for a special World Football at AFCON marking the 10-year anniversary of Nigeria's last AFCON win. I'm joined by one of the Super Eagles heroes from that tournament in 2013 to relive how they did it. There's a great story about Didier Drogba in there that I've never heard before as well. The group stage is over, but the drama is really just beginning at this tournament. Speak to you next time on World Football at AFCON.
World Football at AFCON is a BBC Sport production from the BBC World Service.